Good morning, everybody. You are now tuned in to the Cave of Solitudes, your pop culture and comic book podcast, coming to you from the megacity metropolis of Toronto. I am your host, Eric Anthony, and you are listening to another edition of The Road Report, where I attempt to make my way to work driving on the crazy streets of the 401 Expressway and simultaneously podcast to you, the people. So thank you for joining me. So keep in mind, I am driving and I am trying to position my microphone in a way that I'm coming through clearly to you. If my mind happens to wander or words are escaping me, please forgive me. I am doing this on the fly, freestyle style, and hopefully it all comes to you entertaining and as something you enjoy listening to. So for this episode, I went to my good buddy Adam Chapman, host of the Comic Shenanigans podcast, for a possible topic to discuss, and he suggested that I try to remember or recollect the first comic book trade paperback that I had ever purchased. And that's something he kind of does on his show. If you go into his flashback episodes, he just sits in front of his shelf, kind of pulls something off of the shelf, like a Masterpiece Theater, as it were, and discusses the memories he's had about a book that he particularly enjoyed once upon a time, and kind of gives you a retroactive review about it. And I personally enjoy those because I love the same things he loves, and I love collecting these trade paperbacks that take these single issues of comic books and bind them into one collection, usually for a better, concise read. So the first one, for myself, that I ever bought, I'd have to go back, how many years now? Can't count. I can't do the math in my head, but it would be 1992 or 1993, and this is before the trade paperback or graphic novel became one of the most common things that you could find in a comic shop. Today, essentially, everything is collected or put into a trade paperback or a nice hardcover edition for us to enjoy some retroactive comics or currently published books that just read better or are almost designed to be eventually sold in the format of a trade where you get a full story. But when in 1992, 93, I just usually saw things on the newsstand or a spinner rack or whatever the case may be and bought single issues of comic books and tried my absolute best to not have them in tatters by the end of the month because I didn't really know how to. We didn't take care of our books back then the way everything wasn't so precious. It was just something you enjoyed. But in 92, 93, I'm sure everybody who is born in the 80s or even just comic book fans will remember the event that kind of shook the world. It definitely changed the comic book medium, but it also got the attention of mainstream media, and that would be the death of Superman. Now, the death of Superman, looking back, isn't the greatest comic book story of all time, but it definitely moved the needle in regards to comic book buying, speculation, and just the what it meant to kill off a character who seemingly is invincible, but also, I'm just about to get on the 401, gotta be a little cautious, is also a character who offers society and readership a sense of stability, a sense of good always conquering evil. So the concept that the greatest do-gooder, if you will, is defeated and is killed. This was still a time where we didn't know what they would do with characters. It was kind of a novel idea. And now Superman is dead, and I'm watching the news, or not watching the news, but the news is on as a kid, and my father calls me into the room and says, look what happened. And it was almost like they were reporting a real news story. It was a picture of Superman being held in the air by some monster. It was Doomsday, I didn't know at the time, but some monstrosity is holding Superman in the air and ready to pummel him into the ground. And it was something that they were covering on the news. Even comic book shops were having faux funerals to honor the memory, quote unquote, the memory of this beloved character. Of course, it was all marketing and sales, whatever. But as a kid, it really struck a chord with me. So that was the one. And Superman was my favorite go-to character as a superhero fan and as a child. I absolutely love Superman. And I missed the boat on the single issues. I didn't know this was happening. I had no concept of events. So Superman had died. I had missed the boat on getting an issue of the death of Superman. And it must have been December or March. I can't remember 100%. I'm going to say December. It was pretty close to when the actual single issues had come out, because my older cousin, his father was a little bit more in the know in regards to, you know, finding a comic shop to pick up the Death of Superman issue. And he had a copy of Superman 75. And I had flipped through it. I had seen the Death of Superman, not knowing what all the issues that had come before to set up this final issue of pure splash pages. It was powerful. It was action-packed. It broke your heart when you finally got to the last page and you saw Superman being held by Lois Lane with tears streaming down her face and a lifeless corpse of your favorite superhero. But in 92, around December, I'm going to say, me and my cousins went to visit our grandparents who lived on small town outskirts of Aurelia, and during our Christmas break they brought us to the small town shopping mall that is nowhere near to the shopping malls that we have in Toronto, such as, you know, Yorkdale, Eaton Centre, things like that. But brought us to the shopping mall in the small town of Aurelia. They had a bookstore there, and on the magazine shelf they had this Death of Superman. It wasn't a magazine. It looked like a magazine, but it looked like a comic book with a lot more pages. And I thought it was maybe a special edition sort of retroactive look at the life of Superman that you kind of see on newsstands today, where they give you these Newsweek magazines or these Hollywood Reporter magazines that show you the history of a character when they have a new movie coming out. It gives you like their whole sort of history. It wasn't that. This was a cover to cover sequential, or not so, it's obviously sequential, but it was the entire story of the death of Superman. And I thought this was the actual death of Superman that was released, and everything was fragmented into little comics. But I clearly understood when I flipped the back cover that this had all of the single issue comics that were released month to month or week to week at that time that chronicled the death of Superman. And here it was, packaged in one full story, no advertisements. You just read this sucker. And I think, if memory serves, it was $6 for the entire Death of Superman story. So I had to buy it. I thought I had hit the jackpot. I thought this was the greatest thing ever to hit a bookshelf. And that was my first graphic novel purchase, and I still own that book to this day. It definitely changed a young, impressionable mind of a young Eric at 8 years old, because I knew that comics, an issue would end and continue somewhere else, but I didn't have the know-how, the savvy, or the guidance of, okay, this is the next issue you pick up, let's go to the shop to pick it up. I was just, whenever we would go pick up groceries or milk at the convenience store, I would just pick up a random copy. Sometimes I would get the next issue, but that was never on purpose. So I had a you know, the John Byrne, Jerry Ordway era of Superman. I had a nice little stack at home of random issues that some of them continued, fed into each other, but I still didn't really understand how to properly read and follow a story in comics. I would just follow the pictures. Didn't know how to deal with the word bubbles yet. So this reading experience was, I would say, that first time where I saw one issue end and directly continue to the next page of the following issue. And it was a book that I read, I can't even count the amount of times that I read The Death of Superman growing up, because it was my first full collection of a story. And, you know, looking back, you know that Funeral for a Friend or even The Reign of Superman had a lot more character build up and plot that was being developed. The death of Superman was a straight up, it was a season finale of a show. That's what it felt like. You were starting this trilogy of books that was a season finale. You had your main character have a knock him down, drag him out type of fight that led to his death, or his quote unquote his death, because we know that Superman comes back. And even though it was a pretty simple story of having a monster show up that no one knew where he was from, no one could explain him, there wasn't an origin story of the monster, Doomsday, that would come later, it was, I feel, looking back, well designed. Because it counted down in the way that they paneled the book, within each issue, they were eliminating a panel as they got closer to the finale. And now when I read it and I know these little things that they did, it did affect the reading experience. It did affect your emotions as you're going through it. You do feel the stakes getting higher. And they do include all the ancillary characters that they had built up in the Superman world in some capacity. So all the people who had been, you'd been reading or getting to know throughout the history of the Superman book post-crisis era, when they relaunched the Superman mythology, you see them all there. Kent Grant is there, Jimmy Olsen, you've got this reborn Lex Luthor is there, Supergirl, the Matrix Supergirl is all there, the Guardian, I don't think Gangbuster is there, but Professor Hamilton is involved. Everybody's there. The Justice League makes an appearance in one of the issues. Just absolutely love this book. I have nostalgic feelings towards it to this day. And I love the art. I love the creative team. I'm not going to go through the whole plot because it's pretty simple. Superman dies. But the creators on this book, there was four separate teams of writer and artists, which this was being published, if memory serves, at this time weekly. So you had four different Superman titles on the newsstand that all fed into each other. They passed the baton. As one person ended the story, another person would pick it up. But you had Dan Jurgens doing a lot of the heavy lifting in both writing and drawing, illustrating his books, which were Superman. And he was also doing Justice League at the time. So if he had three issues in this collection that he had written and penciled, which is pretty impressive. And then you had Jerry Ordway and Tom Grummett doing The Adventures of Superman. I absolutely love Tom Grummett's art as a kid. I still like it to this day. It makes me feel good when I see it. I really feel like I'm reading a superhero story. I loved his work in Teen Titans and Robin. But the way he drew Superman, I could look at that drawn Superman every day. I loved it. Then you had it on Action Comics, Roger Stern and Jackson Geis, Butch Geis, who to this day people hold in very high regard when you consider some of the work he's doing now. Invaders, he was, if memory serves me correct, one of the pencilers during the Ed Brubaker Captain America era. Just a great artist to this day. So seeing him do work back then, all of these people collected in one book, and then you had, I think the last team was Louise Simonson and John Bogdanov, who had a pretty good history working together at Marvel, and then they'd come over to DC. So you look at this lineup, you got on the writer's side, Dan Jurgens, Louise Simonson, Jerry Ordway, and Roger Stern. And then, I mean, that's basically like having Mark Waid, Gail Simone, Brian Michael Bendis, and Jerry Duggan. Just throwing a couple names out there that are comparable to the people that I listed. All on one title, all doing solid work and piggybacking off of each other's story on a weekly basis. And then the artists, like I said, you had Dan Jurgens again, Tom Grummett, John Bogdanov, and Jackson Geis or Butch Geis. Incredible, really, when you think about it. These are still people working in the medium, and for the most part, and had good, substantial careers working in the medium, doing good work. So here's where they kind of got their... this was the biggest thing that they had ever done in their career. It's hard to top something like this. And the stories that followed it were really, really strong. So that was my first graphic novel that I had ever purchased. It changed the way that I appreciated and read comics to this day. It just reestablished, well, didn't reestablish, but cemented the love that I had for this type of storytelling and what could be possible with it. And it also helped me appreciate a way to follow a story, because back on these Superman issues, they had the, me and Adam Chapman were talking about it at our last episode, we're at the baseball game, where we had, they had the triangle numbering on the covers of all the Superman issues that were just basically counting the week. So week one, week two, it helped you put everything in order of how you were to read these stories. And this was the first time where I really fully understood what those numbers had meant. So that's my story. Adam Chapman, thank you for the suggestion. If you want to read The Death of Superman, I think it's still the number one published or highest selling graphic novel DC has ever published. It's still readily available, whether you want to go to your local comic book shop, Cyber City Comics, or buy it online, however you want to buy your books. But definitely read this one. This is one that if you are a new comic book collector, it's not a bad place to start, just so you can get your feet wet with a story where you don't need to know everything else that has been happening, but you it's one of those markers in history that, as much as it's almost 30 years old, it still kind of holds up. And the creative team was a very solid creative team. I love this book. I love this era of Superman. I'm happy that I lived through it. It's one of those things that I'm happy to have felt the emotion as a kid, to feel the fear and the sadness and the excitement of Superman dying and coming back. And seeing how the story unfolded when a beloved character who offers safety and stability and hope gets taken away, how does it affect the world around you? Who steps up to the plate? How do people's viewpoint of the world, how do Superman's parents, how does his fiance, how do they all deal with something like this? And then, of course, when Superman does return, or when there's the four replacement Supermans all jockeying for the job to either steal his name or to honor his name, how does that affect the world? Fun story. I had a great time reading it growing up. I have a great time revisiting it now. So thank you for listening. This has been the Cave of Solitude, the Road Report. Email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com. You can leave us a review on iTunes. It always helps. Any reviews on iTunes always helps. We appreciate it. And we will be back soon for another Road Report. I am going to try to get my butt to work safe and sound. We will talk to you guys very soon. Goodbye.